Yeah, I would say a lot of us would have a problem even thinking about stepping out of a boat to take one step. Peter, who was called of little faith, made it within a couple steps of the Lord himself. Makes me question how much faith I have. My topic is counseling, and even though I didn't find out I was going to do this till Monday night, I think I have to present what I have and have to present it in infomercial format. So I'm gonna pare it down. But most of you know my story, some of you don't. But in 1998, we moved to Massachusetts. I went to seminary for one semester for counseling. And at the time of going to the program, I did agree with the philosophy of the program. I knew what it was when I went there. But through the local assembly that we started attending in Massachusetts, they started a lay person's counseling ministry based on the teachings of Jay Adams, who is an author many times over. He's a pastor. He was a pastor for decades and wrote many books on biblical counseling. And even though I knew of him before that and knew his teaching, I did not agree with it until I was in school for one philosophy of counseling and going through this layperson's ministry of his philosophy of counseling, and his philosophies won out, and I quit seminary. And ironically, that caused me to leave the assembly that showed me the better way in biblical counseling. But I left there after one semester. We moved back into this area, Natrona Heights, and I left seminary with two main conclusions that I remember. One is that biblical counseling should be free, and two is that the best training for counseling is a command of Scripture. And lo and behold, 1 year from those conclusions, I was in this assembly. Now that was 11 years ago, and I have regrets with how I've spent my time here. I could have been much further ahead in my command of Scripture if I had more personal discipline. But under this teaching of this pastor that we have here, just sitting, we're going to absorb more truth and knowledge and wisdom than most people will have in a lifetime. And I'm thankful for that. So just real briefly, counseling is the work of the Holy Spirit. John 14:16-17, and I gave you those handouts just to try to prevent a lot of page flipping. But so that first verse on the longer side, it's a double-sided, says that I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper. That word helper is a title of the Holy Spirit, many times translated counselor, helper, comforter. And that's his title, that's his work, because he's a mode of sanctification. He's in the work of sanctification, which is what counseling is also endeavoring to do. I borrowed a lot from Jay Adams in the concept of biblical counseling because I do agree with it, and we'll get into the shorter side of your handout. These are 8 verses that use the same Greek word, and the Greek word is nuthetēo, Nouthetic is how many people use it now, just as a American or English adjective. But nouthetēo is it's a two-part Greek word. First part meaning to put, and the second part meaning to means mind, the place in the mind. Different than the Greek word that's often translated teaching. It has more meaning in it than just the conveyance of knowledge. So nouthetic, and J. Adams, he'll use, instead of just using a different word for that, he uses the Greek word, nouthetic. He calls it nouthetic confrontation, and we'll see why he puts that confrontation into this word. So in Acts 20:31, it says, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years," this is Paul speaking, "for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Nouthetēo is warn. Romans 15:14, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." That's nouthetic, admonish. And I'll, for lack of time, I'll just run through these. First Corinthians 4:14 translates it warn. Colossians 1:28 again warn. Colossians 3:16 is a good one for the concept of biblical counseling. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing," nouthetic, "one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." 1 Thessalonians 5:12 again uses admonish. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 uses warn. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:15 again uses admonish. Nouthetic counseling is, and again, it's not, saying nouthetic counseling makes it sound like a special concept. It's not meant to be that way. It's just using this Greek word to kind of separate it from the worldly, semi-Christian, mixed, eclectic kind of counseling. He's just trying to say, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this word, and that's what I base counseling on. It's the concept really of teaching to an individual to their specific problem, and it does imply that the person has a problem, and that's why it gets translated admonish, warn, the idea of rebuke. And let me see. I use the website blueletterbible.com a lot. I like it. It has tons of translations, and it does have other helps on it as well. It's good for Greek and Hebrew. If you're getting into that level, it still is helpful. And it listed, I would say, 10 different authors on their concept of the word nouthetēo. They quoted John MacArthur saying that nuthateo is a comprehensive term for counseling. In this context, it refers to coming alongside other Christians for spiritual and moral counseling. Paul's not referring to a special gift of counseling, but of the duty and responsibility that every believer has for encouraging and strengthening other believers. The idea is to lay it on the mind or heart of the person, with the stress being on influencing not only the intellect, which would be the teaching, you know, just the standard word for teaching is more of an idea of influencing the intellect, conveying knowledge. But nuthateo also is desiring to alter the will, emotions, and disposition. The idea is to counsel about avoidance or cessation of an improper course of conduct. It describes putting sense into someone's head. Put in the mind, and they're kind of expanding on that, saying this word is conveying putting sense into someone's head, alerting them of the serious consequences of their actions without being judgmental or critical in a superior manner, but instead imparting care. It definitely has an underlying idea of the one counseling is acting out of agape devotion to their beloved brethren who they are counseling. I would have to say, and I'm gonna skip some things that I looked into here, so your paper has a lot of extra verses on it than what I'm going to use. I always have our local this assembly in mind when I think about exhorting us in particular, and I don't need to compare us to other assemblies. I can just be thinking about who we are, who's in this assembly, what we hear, how long we've been here, how mature we are. And I would have to say if there ever was a local assembly that was equipped to counsel one another, it would be our assembly. The interesting part that I find in this is that all of these eight verses that I rattled through at the beginning, it's not the counselee, it's not the one with the problem that's seeking out the counselor. It was the counselor seeking out the counselee. So many times the one in the problem isn't going to be the one eager to seek out counsel and solution. And the more I study this, the more I'm convinced that we have a responsibility toward our brethren to seek them out for this kind of confrontation. Confrontation always seems so negative. Sounds like everybody would want to avoid confrontation. And most often it's not going to be comfortable. But I feel that it is an obligation, especially of those who are more mature and equipped to admonish another. I mean, the idea of rebuke is definitely right behind this concept. F.B. Meyer, I don't know who that is, but I like this illustration. And this, I got this again off the blueletter.com blueletterbible.com, but he says, if the signalman is placed at a point where many lines of rail cross or diverge, and he sleeps at his post or neglects his duty, he may be tried for manslaughter. And if we know of people in the immediate circle of our influence who are in danger of ruining their physical, moral, and spiritual well-being, we are bound to raise a warning voice. If we saw upon the upper reaches of a river a boat full of people hastening towards the rapids, unheeding the danger, surely we might be guilty of being an accessory in their destruction if we failed to do something to warn them of their peril. So that's what I'm learning more about counseling. You know, you hear the word counseling and you think, you hang the shingle out and you wait for them to come to you. You advertise yourself as a counselor and you wait for them to come to you. And biblical local assembly counseling, using this principle of nouthetic confrontation, those with the problems and issues should be pursued for their good, for their benefit. If you are the one who has an issue or a problem, and you are willing to seek help, there are those, and I'll just touch on this very briefly. There is a spiritual gift, most often translated as the gift of administration, and also most often understood to be someone gifted in office work, is what comes to my mind, administration, organization, the organizational piece. A lot of times I saw it translated as government, the gift of government. Some of you might remember this, Timothy, in his teaching of the spiritual gifts, he decided to interpret that as being, and I have his definition here, a dispensation of God's grace that renders an individual especially apt in directing fellow believers in the will and wisdom of God. 20th century interpretation would be the gift of counseling. Even though that sounds very different than what many others interpret it to be, it actually is not. It's a difference in opinion on how to translate or how to define the Greek word that's behind that word. But if you were to seek out counseling, you would want to find a person like this that may be gifted in counseling. So we are saying, or I am saying and agreeing, that there's a gift of counseling that entails, it mixes in wisdom and knowledge and teaching in a way of applying it to specific individuals, and it mixes it into interpersonal relationships, one-on-one communication. Looking for my second page here. That Greek word is kubernesis, and it implies the steering of a vessel. Acts 27:11 uses that same word, and many translated it to be helmsman, pilot, or captain. Revelation 18:17, same word, same uses, helmsman, pilot, captain. And the difference between how Timothy is finding it to be counseling and how others find it to be organizational, governmental, secretarial work, it just has to do with how big is the vessel that they're talking about. Is it the vessel of a person? Is it the piloting, the steering of a personal soul vessel, or is it the ability to steer a bigger ship as an assembly or a church or a denomination? And I didn't have the time to dig down far enough to have an opinion on that. I know Timothy, and I know his depth of study and his attention to detail, and I tend to lean toward his definition that it would be the steering of a personal vessel, the helping of steering individuals rather than organizational. Because if you interpret it to be the gift of organizational leadership, governmental positions in a church, you're really starting to blur it into leadership. And there is leadership. There's a separate word and a separate gift that deals with leadership. So I think there's more behind this, the use of this particular word to define this particular gift. But my main exhortation, my main point tonight is to consider, for us to consider our role, our obligation within our assembly toward one another. If we see issues, problems, hear of issues or problems, let us consider our role in that. Do we have a role? Is it my place? Is anyone else doing it? Do I feel led by the Spirit? Do I feel that I have God's truth to convey to that situation? Am I considering this for the benefit of the one in need? And if you feel equipped and led to counsel another, my encouragement is to don't wait until they're seeking it out. Timothy is obviously most people's first thought when they need to go to someone if they're in need or have an issue. And it is said by J. Adams too that, you know, the one who is able to counsel biblically grows a reputation and quickly becomes bombarded with those in need. And I know that that's Timothy's case, and I know that he is not burdened, he's not bothered by that. But there's many in our assembly who could step up to the situation because he has equipped us by God's blessing on Timothy. We've become very equipped. And if you have an issue or something that you need to share with someone, that you want biblical counsel on, you might consider someone else who you would appreciate their view, that you think that they would have a biblical opinion on that. And one of the last things I wanted to say, just to be very practical, is if you have a personal situation, if you're sitting here or if you're listening to this and you think and you're thinking of yourself that you have a need, that you're stuck, you're in, you know where you're at, you know where you want or need to go, and you don't know how to get there. You have a situation that you know there's probably a biblical answer, but you don't know what that answer is. And if it's a situation that is just too close, it's too involved with others in this assembly, and you need to take it outside of this assembly, I'm urging you to be careful where you go outside of the assembly. And I'm also encouraging you to consider, you can always ask Timothy and tell him that if the situation is too close to this assembly, is there someone outside of this local assembly that you can talk to? But I'm also going to recommend Rick Riley from Reading, if that takes you far enough outside of this local assembly. And I'm also going to recommend Troy McIntosh in Chicago, and probably for most people that would be enough of an outside contact to remove yourself from feeling like you're staying too close to the situation in this assembly. And if you want to do that, if you need to do that, if you don't know who those people are, you can ask Timothy. They can be reached. You don't have to go to Chicago. They can be reached by phone. They can be reached by email, internet, Facebook, however you choose to do that. But and I know, I'm sure there's others. That's just my personal recommendation for anyone that feels like they're in that situation. There's so much more, but I'm comfortable leaving you with that exhortation, with that consideration, and just think about your involvement with your investment in the souls of the others in this assembly, and ask God to put light on the situation, for Him to put individuals on your heart, and then it's up to your will to act and pursue those who you feel may be in need. Grace and peace.